When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In today's show, I'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis. And quoting the high priest of Bitcoin, Max Keiser, Ethereum is unquestionably a security. The problem is the SEC should have shut you crooks down long ago, referring to consensus. I'll be breaking this down for you. We'll also be discussing the US SEC expected to deny spot Ethereum ETFs in May. Deadline around the corner. We'll also be discussing the buy Bitcoin sign that photobombed Janet Yellen sells for $1 million. Can you say Binance? We'll also be discussing runes makes up 68% of all the Bitcoin transactions since launch, as well as $300 billion worth of boomer cash coming into the crypto space, according to Mark Yusko. Also be breaking this down for you, as well as the Bitcoin price can hit $800,000 per coin, ultimately soaring 13x from here. All this plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Today is pod episode number 1620. I'm your host, JV. It's April 25th, 2024. And the market is pumping back in the green. As you can see here on Coin360, we got Bitcoin trading at roughly $64,900, up roughly a G note on the day. We have Ether up 1%, trading just under $3,200, while Solana, Cardano, XRP, and AVAX all currently correcting and in the red. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, the current crypto market cap sitting at 2.38 trillion with roughly 85 billion worth of volume for the past 24 hours. We got the Bitcoin dominance at 53.4% with the Ether dominance at 16.2%. My question for the chat, how high do you think that Bitcoin dom will likely climb for this cycle peak? Holla. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours. We got Wormhole up 20%. We have Bonk up 12.5% and Say up 7%. Below that, Phantom, CFX, and Theta. Now, which alts in particular are y'all most bullish on for this particular bull? Holla at your boy. And checking out the crypto bubbles to get more of the visual perspective on the day. Safe to say, maybe 15% in the green, but overall, the market correcting and in the red. And zooming out on the monthly, pretty substantial losses overall. You could say Rex City for the altcoin market with a handful in the green. And checking out the crypto greed and fear index, we're currently rated a 72. Yesterday, 72. Last week, 57. And last month, an 81 in extreme greed. So there you have it, my crypto fam. We got 1 week left here in April. Where do you feel that price action is likely to take us before the end of the monthly close? Holla. And let's dive into today's Bitcoin technical analysis. Check out some of the charts of where the price action is likely heading next. Shall we? Headline reads, Bitcoin price risks the one-week low as U.S. GDP sparks stagflation woes. Here you're looking at the one-hour chart. Bitcoin fell below 62 Gs, baby, this morning into the Wall Street open as stagflationary U.S. macro data unsettled the markets, but we bounced right back. Right now, we're right back near 65 Gs, baby. So yeah, markets opened to trouble sentiment after U.S. Q1 gross domestic product came in significantly lower than anticipated. At 1.6%. And at the same time, prices rose by more than anticipated, and reactions highlighted the difficult task of taming inflation ahead of the Federal Reserve. Quoting Holger, the economist, right here, if 1.6% is the final reading, it will end six straight quarters of 2% growth. And also, the Kibisi letter says, is the economy beginning to weaken? Duh. Kibisi additionally noted the surprising nature of the GDP data, which came in nearly 50% lower than Goldman Sachs had forecasted. Quoting them here, what does the Fed do when inflation is rising but the economy is weakening? If you cut rates, inflation will skyrocket. If you raise rates, economy crashes. Not exactly the definition of a soft landing. Now, the markets were already decreasing the odds of the Fed loosening economic policy April 25th, no longer fully pricing in an interest rate cut earlier than December. The latest data from the CME Group's FedWatch tool showed just a 6.3% chance of a cut coming at the next meeting of the FOMC, scheduled for May 1st, a few days out. Now let's discuss the bullish price targets persisting in the Bitcoin market. Bitcoin thus follow U.S. equities, in particular tech stocks, downhill, struggling to maintain ground it had reclaimed the week prior after a geopolitically induced dip below 60 Gs. Not everyone, however, was gearing up for losses. Quoting Crypto Chase, in my opinion, the job on the upside is not finished. I'm ready long ETH from 3,100, but this is where I'd be bidding Bitcoin targeting 68,000. So zooming out, we also had fellow trader Crypto Tony, who called for a new macro high to come before more consolidatory price action. And for analyst Caleb Franzen, the short-term hodler, realized price is currently at 59.5, forming the definitive line in the sand. Now, short-term hodlers' realized price refers to the aggregate price at which short-term hodler entities, which are wallets holding coins for 155 days or less, last moved them. It has functioned almost without fail as market support since the end of the 2022 bear market. Quoting them here, if Bitcoin falls below the short-term hodler RP, then I will get bearish. So he's ultimately saying only if we drop below 59.5 will he be bearish. And like I said, Bitcoin bounced pretty nice and impressively right back near to 65,000 at the time of the live stream. So it seems 60 has been holding, which is strong and a good sign. And Consensus recently tweeted, we took this step for two very basic reasons, in regards to filing a lawsuit against the SEC. They say, number one, the SEC should not be allowed to arbitrarily expand its jurisdiction to include regulating the future of the internet by wrongly labeling ETH a security. And number two, the SEC's reckless approach is bringing chaos to developers, market participants, institutions, and nations who are building or already managing critical systems running on Ethereum. And it continues. I'm not going to read them all to you. This is a little bonus. Maybe we'll dive deeper into this tomorrow. But I did want to respond with Max's basically adding the following. You guys are wrong. ETH is unquestionably a security. The problem is the SEC should have shut you crooks down long ago. Yeah, man. So it's getting pretty heated here. So I'd love to know your feedback and thoughts. Do you agree that the SEC is overreaching and that Ethereum should be maybe deemed a commodity, as it seems consensus is arguing and suing the SEC over? Or do you think Max is right? And they are clearly and obviously Ethereum being a security, and these guys are a bunch of crooks. Yeah, man, let's keep the show moving, shall we? Next story of the day, let's discuss these Ether ETFs. The headline reads, US SEC expected to deny spot Ether ETFs in May. That's right. The SEC will most likely deny the spot ETFs in May, according to this latest report. That's from Reuters. They reported April 24th yesterday. U.S. issuers and other firms expect the SEC to reject the spot Ether ETF apps next month, following meetings with the regulator in recent weeks, citing four people who participated in the meetings. The four persons who asked to be anonymous due to the private nature of the discussions said recent meetings between issuers and the SEC have been one-sided. The agency staff have not discussed substantial details about the proposed products. The sources compared the unsuccessful talks regarding Ethereum ETFs to detailed discussions between the issuers and the agency in January, weeks before it approved the spot Bitcoin ETFs. And before the historical approval, the SEC rejected spot Bitcoin ETF filings for over a decade. That's right. It only changed its stance after Grayscale Investments won the court victory against the regulator August 2023. Many analysts agree that the SEC is likely to further delay possible approval of the Ether ETFs. Quoting them here, it seems more likely that approval will be delayed until later in 2024 or longer, according to this analyst, Todd Rosenbluth, who reportedly said, adding that the regulatory landscape is still too cloudy. And then we have Bloomberg ETF analyst Eric Balchunas, who previously estimated the chances of the SEC approving the spot Ether ETF in May at around 35% back in March. He also noted he sourced good intel to suggest the SEC may be giving the silent treatment to prospective fund issuers on purpose. Balchunas also mentioned the SEC chair Gary Gensler's stance on Ether could also impact the decision process, as Gensler has refused to give clarity on whether Ether was a security. That's right. Remember when he spoke to Congress and testified, Gary, chairman of the SEC, is Ether a unregistered security or commodity? We can't answer that question because that's why he's no Claire Gare. While the U.S. is apparently set for another delay, some global jurisdictions have been moving forward with plans to start trading ETF products, such as Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission officially approving the first batch of spot Bitcoin and Ether ETFs, including 3 Bitcoin and 3 Ether ETFs by China Asset Management, Harvest Global Investments, and Bocera. And following the approval, Hong Kong's crypto ETFs are expected to start trading on April 30th. So you already know. Let me know if you guys are bullish for some of these ETFs, which are soon going to be coming out this week out of Hong Kong. I should say this upcoming week, which would be at the end of this month on the 30th, which is what, another 5 days away? Let me know your thoughts, family.
Too many frauds and scams.
These clowns trying to take us down. What a guy. Wow, what a guy. Wow, what a guy.
Off the phone when you call, something I'll not do. I'm shocked that you're just not cooperating. It's obvious you're wrong. Stop debating.
Yes, exactly. Anyways, family, pump the likes to pump the stream. Let's dive into our next story of the day. That infamous buy Bitcoin sign from Miss Binance, Janet Yellen, when she got photobombed, that sold officially for $1 million. This is actually quite interesting. Let's break this baby down. A yellow notepad with buy Bitcoin written on it, which was flashed behind U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen during the 2017 congressional hearing, sold at an auction for 16 biddies worth over $1 million. The buyer, identified as Justin, also known as Squirrel Kairath, which was the winning bidder on the Bitcoin platform, auction platform Scarcity. The auction ran for a week, ending on April 24th, just after 11 p.m. UTC. Here's the guy right here. That's what's up. Respect for purchasing that for a whopping 16 Bitcoin, because we all know 16 Bitcoin is going to be worth a lot more than $1 million in the upcoming years, if you know what I mean. So the sign was offered up by Christian Langalis, who wrote it out and flashed it on camera. Oh, yeah, that's the initial guy who actually flashed it on camera. Pretty cool. After nabbing a seat behind Miss Yellen at the televised House Financial Services Committee hearing in July 2017. So this guy right here on the right, massive legend. So respect to him for making that meme. Yeah, I mean, Langalis was escorted out after photobombing Yellen. Go figure. Here you go, right here is a picture, as signs are not allowed to be displayed during hearings. Was it worth it? Yeah, damn right. CNBC reported at the time that after the sign was flashed, Bitcoin traded almost 4% higher, reaching over $2,418. And after Scarcity takes a 15% fee, Langalis is set to pocket around $875,000, which is worth 13.6 biddies at this time. And in a statement under the listing, Langalis said, "It was good to finally liberate this number from my sock drawer and offer it back to the Bitcoin public." The listing notes the page with the handwritten sign was removed from the notepad shortly after the hearing, but was since reattached with clear archival wire. Interesting. The yellow legal pad also contains an unforeseen rough draft of the now iconic scrawl, along with notes on the hearing monetary policy and Bitcoin. And in 2019, Langalis created and sold 21 replicas of the sign, which sold for an average price of 0.8 biddies, worth about $51,000 today. The listing claims the replicas are displayed in the offices of venture firms Paradigm, Blockchain Capital, Castle Island Ventures, along with crypto think tank Coin Center. Bloomberg reported Langalis planned to use the money from the latest sale to help fund a Bitcoin software project. So there you have it. How cool is that? How many of you would be interested in purchasing that sign? How about you, Jennifer? Let me know. I guess you got a piece of Bitcoin history, so you can't go wrong with that. I'm sure it will appreciate. But will the sign appreciate as much as Bitcoin will appreciate in price value? That's my question. What do you guys think? Let me know. Let's dive into our next story of the day and discuss runes. Headline reads, runes makes up 68% of all the Bitcoin transactions since launch. That's right. The new token standard on the Bitcoin blockchain has made up more than 2/3 of transactions on Bitcoin since it was launched following the network's halving event April 20th, in only 5 days. Whoa. More than 2.38 million rune transactions have been processed, accounting for 68% of all Bitcoin transactions made since it launched April 20th, according to Dune Analytics dashboard shared by blockchain research firm CryptoCoreo. Now, ordinary peer-to-peer Bitcoin transactions, BRC20 ordinals, and runes were included in the total transaction count. As you can see here, runes had its biggest day, April 23rd, with more than 750,000 transactions, though the count more than halved the next day at 312,000 transactions. Much of the initial demand at block 840,000 came from meme coin and NFT enthusiasts competing to inscribe and etch rare Satoshis via the runes protocol. As a result, runes transactions contributed to nearly 70% of miner fees on the halving day. Since then, the daily figure fluctuated between 33 and 69%. However, industry pundits are also split on whether runes will provide a sustainable revenue stream for the Bitcoin miners, and there is already disparity between the numbers of rune transactions and miner fees earned from runes. So the new protocol launched by Ordinals investor Casey Rodamore has been marketed as a more efficient way to create new tokens on the Bitcoin network when compared to BRC20 token standard as Ordinals-based method for creating Bitcoin base tokens. However, not everyone is happy with the amount of block space that has been taken up by runes transactions in recent days. Amongst those critics is Nikita, lead developer at blockchain search engine Blockshare, who believes Bitcoin has completely ceased becoming a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, what its synonymous creator, Satoshi, originally envisioned. Now, also, I think this is what's congesting the blockchain and creating some pretty wild blockchain fees to move the biddies right now. So let me know your thoughts on Rune. Are you bullish with these memes on the Bitcoin blockchain? Do you think it's just creating a lot of noise and taking up a lot of space and ultimately congesting the blockchain? Whatever your thoughts are, let me know. Malwa, welcome. I know Bitcoiners who love all this stuff, ordinals and Rune. And then I know, obviously Bitcoin maxis who hate it. So I want to know your thoughts and how you stand, where you feel. Let me know. Anyways, fam, next story of the day. Let's discuss these $300 billion worth of inflows, says Mark Yusko, is coming from the boomers. Then we'll dive into this $800,000 Bitcoin price prediction, shall we? Chief executive investment firm Morgan Creek Capital says digital asset industry is set to be inundated by hundreds of billions of dollars coming from the baby boomer generation. Now, in a new interview with crypto influencer Scott Melker, Morgan Creek Capital CEO Mark Yusko says within the next 12 months, he expects asset managers who manage funds for boomers to put $300 billion into the crypto space. Quoting him here from the interview, we have a pretty significant demand shift and it hasn't fully played out. And in fact, it hasn't even come close to fully playing out. I believe in the next 12 months-ish, we are a couple of months into the ETFs, and we have gotten about 10% of what I believe is coming into the space from registered investment advisors who control all of the boomers' cash. So the boomers have about $30 trillion with these financial advisors. There's going to be $300 billion, I believe. That's 1% of $30 trillion. That comes into the space. That's actually more money than has ever been converted to Bitcoin in 15 years. That is pretty amazing thing. That's a pretty amazing thing. Yusko says due to the Bitcoin multiplier, which the executive says is sitting around 20x, $300 billion being added to the king crypto would raise the market cap by $6 trillion. So $300 billion would add $6 trillion to the market cap, which would give Bitcoin a market cap of roughly $7.3 trillion dollars. Let me know if you agree or disagree with Mark Yusko. And can you see that happening? Also, the headline, or I should say on the thumbnail, is Bitcoin to 150,000, Ethereum to 8,000 by the end of the year. And to watch that video and prediction, check the show notes below this video and in the description. Now for our feature story of the day. Let's discuss the Bitcoin price action doing a 13x from here and capturing $800,000 per Bitcoin, shall we? And welcome everyone just joining us on our live stream. As Bitcoin's halving deflates issuance, it seems closer than ever to achieve gold's value proposition and hit a $17 trillion Bitcoin market cap. Let's go. That's right. Following the fourth ever halving, which we captured here live on stream 5.5 days ago, analysts have pointed out that Bitcoin's steady state issuance rate has become lower than gold for the first time, driving new comparisons between the two asset classes. Quoting them here, with gold's market cap at about $17 trillion and Bitcoin's market cap at about $1.3 trillion, that's about a 13x from here, they explained in the video, referring to Altcoin Daily, that would put Bitcoin at just over $800,000 per Bitcoin. Now, that's not going to happen this year. It is not going to happen next year. We're thinking about this coming decade, but that's really the potential. That's right. We know the potential is there. Bitcoin has no top, as fiat clearly has no bottom. Now, Altcoin Daily was referring to a measure of gold's market cap via the Wu charts. At this time, the Bitcoin market cap sits at closely $1.25 trillion. Now, for a little perspective, Bitcoin, as we know, often described as the digital version of gold because of its programmatic scarcity and utility as a store of value, but obviously way more superior because it has a finite limited supply, unlike gold, which they can keep finding and digging more from the ground. Now, in its 15-year history, Bitcoin has risen within striking distance of gold in terms of the largest market caps for all assets of the world. And the fourth halving event has once again demonstrated the parallels between the two. Quoting Altcoin Daily again from the vid, this Bitcoin halving totally different from any of the other halvings we have seen before in crypto history, as this takes Bitcoin's annual inflation rate to be less than gold, meaning Bitcoin is now the first hard money asset we have ever seen that is scarcer than gold. That's right. Now, BlackRock and other firms, as you know, successfully launched their ETFs on January 11th, and BlackRock now has over 272,000 biddies, and collectively, the asset managers out of the states have now over 800,000 Bitcoin in their possession. And we also know that Hong Kong is going to finally launch their ETFs in another 5 days, which is a pretty big deal. So quoting them here, now only 250 new Bitcoin are issued per day. And you know, for context, BlackRock bought 570 of them yesterday. Just BlackRock, not to mention the Hong Kong Bitcoin ETFs, the Canada ETFs. There's plenty of demand verticals, just not a lot of supply. Now, we know the issuance was recently chopped in half, but correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was just 900 per day. And after the halving 5 days ago, it's now 450. So I'm not sure why he referenced 250, but nonetheless, it's extremely scarce and now double the scarcity as it was 5 days ago. So key takeaways, the Bitcoin price relative to gold has been rising, suggesting as investors seek scarcity, they will increasingly turn to Bitcoin and help drive its market cap towards gold. Quoting them again, we have seen inflation go crazy. We have seen geopolitical tension go crazy. Macro again, wild, he concluded. Gold has risen 10%, maybe on the year. We're seeing Bitcoin actively being accumulated. It makes a good point. We have nation states accumulating Bitcoin in the public eye, such as El Salvador. We have nations secretly purchasing the biddies. For example, Mr. 100, we have speculation that that is Abu Dhabi out of the UAE. There's a lot of talks of other nations getting direct or indirect exposure to Bitcoin right now and just haven't come public with it yet, including Edward Snowden a few weeks ago we covered on the pod, saying a nation has been secretly buying it and soon we'll be revealing who that is. So you already know the race is on. We have all this money coming from the boomers. Again, what'd we say? $300 billion can collectively flow. You got to also consider the multiplier effect and all this other, you know what I mean, bullishness in the market from a macroeconomic perspective. You have a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. War escalation. We have the, you know, I mean, the presidency taking place here later on in the year in the United States. Is it going to be JB? Is it going to be Trump? What do you think? How will it likely impact Bitcoin? How will basically also all the other things and all the other countries in the world, how will they react to Bitcoin? What about the BRICS movement and the de-dollarization of the US dollar, right? What about the weakening of the dollar? What about the $35 trillion deficit, which they can never get rid of? They're forced to print more money. As they continue to print, it will continue to devalue the dollar. Printing money typically escalates wars and perpetuates war. Meanwhile, a Bitcoin standard perpetuates peace and love. So we're at a crossroads right now. Nations have choices. These big companies have choices. Virtually all the major asset managers are already adopting Bitcoin through the ETFs, minus maybe a Vanguard, but they still get the indirect exposure as Vanguard is the primary shareholder of MicroStrategy, the first publicly traded company to put the biddies on the balance sheet. MicroStrategy now holds over 220,000 Bitcoin. And again, Vanguard's the primary shareholder. BlackRock is the secondary biggest shareholder. So it just goes to show you they have their hands in everything. At the end of the day, we have a very finite limited supply of Bitcoin. We have massive demand. The supply issuance just got chopped in half. More and more demand come in, very limited amount. Bitcoin being a hedge against inflation, a hedge against deflation, an insurance policy, a flight to safety. It has all the factors that gold has, but just more superior because we can consider gold relatively scarce, Bitcoin truly scarce, right? Where are all the wealthy individuals and all the total addressable markets? Where is all this money going to park into? What has the greatest reward, the greatest upside? Parking into gold, what did he do? Gold is up 10% on the year. Or parking it into Bitcoin, which we know potentially can do another 2, 3, 4, 5x this year. Easy peasy, because history has shown us that, right? Now, also what makes this particular cycle different, for the first time in Bitcoin history, we basically broke the previous all-time high pre-halving. This has never happened before. This happened mid last month when we tapped out at 73,800. The three previous halvings before that, that has never happened before. Also, clearly, we have institutional FOMO and adoption, which did not exist 4 years ago, right? Also, now we have the ETFs coming out of Hong Kong. We have ETFs which are going to come out of El Salvador, different types of ETFs, more competition, more game theory, right? More investors looking to get into Bitcoin. Most of the population still don't even understand what Bitcoin is. It's perfect money. They have yet to know that. You know what I mean? So yeah, it is what it is. When do you feel Bitcoin is likely to hit some of these price targets we've been discussing here on today's podcast? 800,000 per Bitcoin. My personal projection for this particular cycle, my bear scenario, which is the low, I say 222 G's, baby. And for my high, which is my bull scenario for this cycle, I say 750,000. I say, if I'm using my intuition, we'll probably be somewhere in between that. Granted, it's a wide gap. We have stock to flow says it'll be somewhere between $100,000 and $1 million per coin post 2024 halving, which is where we're currently at. And by the time of the next halving in 2028, I can totally see blowing the lid off of the 800,000 target by the time of the next cycle. I can see us hitting $1 million by 2029, but I want to know your thoughts. And I'm also open to the possibilities of Bitcoin smashing all of these record numbers potentially this year. I know anything could happen, and I'm going to reiterate, Bitcoin has no top because fiat, tulip bulb, monopoly, crap has no bottom, and it is what it is. So let me know your thoughts. Holla in that chat. I'm going to read as many comments out loud as I can. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. Hodl.